Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, what's up, Victory? Thank you so much for joining us today at Church Online. My name is Pastor Chris. I'm the pastor here at Victory, and we are right at the start of what I'm calling the Summer of Victory. I believe this is going to be our greatest summer yet because it will be the greatest summer of our lives spiritually. I believe that God wants us to experience His victory in every area of our lives this summer. So that's why we're calling it the Summer of Victory. And there's so many great things going on right now at Victory. You just saw our Hope Truck Outreach from yesterday. It was amazing. God did great things as we went out and shared the life-giving message of Jesus with people here in East Orlando. And then coming up next Sunday, June 20th, is Father's Day. Here at Victory, we call it Bacon Day because we'll have a bacon bar for all the dads. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time to gather together. So invite your dad, bring a dad that you know, maybe someone in your neighborhood, maybe someone you work with, or just someone who's a father figure in your life. Bring them with you. It's going to be an awesome day on Father's Day. And then 2 weeks from today, Sunday, June 27th, I want to encourage you, do whatever it takes to get in the house. Be in person that Sunday, because a very good friend of mine and one of our overseers here at Victory, Pastor Devin Webb, is going to be here preaching, bringing the Word of God. I'm telling you what, you do not want to miss Pastor Devin. It's going to be powerful. And then, of course, coming up every Sunday in July, one of my favorite things that we do at the movies. It's going to be an awesome, awesome summer of Victory, and I don't want you to miss a moment of it. Let's take just a second and pray to prepare our hearts and our minds for the Word today. Lord, I thank you right now that you're here with us. You're never far, God, but you are always close. So God, I pray today you speak to us through your Word. Let it come alive in our hearts. Let it take root. Let it produce fruit in us because we are good ground. And if you agree, let me hear you shout amen. Well, I want to take the next few weeks and talk about faith. Today, the word of the Lord is faith in action. What is faith? How does it work? And how do I see more of it operating in my life? Those are all really good questions. And the good news is, it is an open book test. Come on. God has provided all the answers for us in His Word, in the Bible. Hebrews 11, verse 1 is probably the most famous verse in the Bible about faith. It's really considered the definition of what faith is. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So in other words, faith is our attitude, our belief, and our response to the unknown, the uncertain, and the unseen things in life, the things we're praying and believing for that we don't yet have, we don't yet see the answer. Our level of faith and what we have faith in, now it's on display all the time in our lives. There is a base level of faith that each person has, and we all put faith into something on a regular basis. When you got up this morning, you had faith that your phone or your tablet would be charged and ready for church online. You had faith in the sofa or the chair, whatever you're sitting in right now, to hold you up, right? You had faith in your car this week that you would get in and it would start and take you where you wanted to go. See, there's a base level of faith, but there's a deeper faith that then believes Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross to pay the penalty for all mankind. The truth is, God has given each and every person a level of faith. It's already in you. And it's up to each one of us what we're going to do with the faith we've been given and how much our faith will grow. And that's really what I want to focus on in the next few weeks. How do we grow our faith in God? How do we have great faith, not just in a car or something like that, but how do we have great faith in God to believe for miracles and see the impossible? If you keep reading in Hebrews chapter 11, you would read stories of how great men and women of God put their faith into action to see God move in great ways. I think about even people in our day and time, right? We see the lives of those who had great faith and saw God move in their generation. I think of Billy Graham, a great man of faith who led an estimated 3 million people to Christ. I think about Oral Roberts, who laid his hands on and prayed for healing for over a million people, seeing many of them healed and delivered. Then one day, God spoke to Oral Roberts, build a university. He had no training, no support, and no money. But by faith, he did it. That university exists today in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm a second-generation graduate of that school because of the faith of a man, Oral Roberts. I think about my pastor growing up, Billy Joe Daugherty. He was a young man from L.A., Lower Arkansas, who built a 5,000-seat sanctuary for his church, all without a penny of debt. He started over 1,000 Bible schools in nearly every nation on this planet with his great faith in God. Right? Good men who had great faith in God saw supernatural things happen, and the same is true for you and me. I believe God is raising up a new generation of men and women of great faith. Come on. Who's going to be the next Billy Graham? Who's going to be the next Oral Roberts, the next Billy Joe Daugherty? Who will lead an even greater revival, see more people saved, more people healed, more people trained and raised up to wholeness in Christ? Who will be the great men and women of faith in this generation and in generations to come? I believe God is raising that generation right now, but it's not going to just happen by accident or wishful thinking or I pray maybe my faith will get stronger. No, it's going to happen by the deliberate choices of people to stretch their faith, to believe God for the impossible and put their faith into action no matter what they see around them, no matter what's happening to them. I believe that's why this church, Victory, was raised up to be part of building up a generation of people who will live with faith in action to be pleasing to their Heavenly Father and see great things happen on this earth. So come on, tell somebody sitting near you today, faith in action. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verse 24. I want to start by looking at a story of a woman of great faith. I love the Bible. It has stories of men and women who had great faith. So whether you are a man or a woman, come on, you can have great faith. In the scripture, there was a woman who was dealing with an issue in her body of bleeding for 12 years. And we're going to see how she activated faith in her life to find what she needed from God. Jesus, just for a little context, Jesus had healed a demon-possessed man. He gets in a boat with his disciples and crosses the Sea of Galilee. When he gets to the other side, there was a huge crowd of people waiting to see him. All they're trying to press in and get close to him because they had heard about Jesus. They wanted to get close to him. And it was in this crowd of people, there was one of the synagogue leaders. Now, in our terms, he would be like a pastor, a leader in the church. He should have been a spiritual man. And he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, his daughter is sick and dying. You need to come right away. Please come to my house, lay hands on her, and heal her. I love Jesus. Without hesitation, he went with the man to his house to heal the young girl. And we pick up the story in verse 24 on the journey to this man's house. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, or pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of growing better, she grew worse. Now Jesus was in town. He would have been famous, he would have been well known, and what he had done, like the word would have spread, and he's on the way to perform a miracle and heal this young girl. And everyone in the crowd wanted a front row to see this miracle take place. Can you imagine the scene? It would have been crazy. Kind of like just crowds of people pressing around, noisy, everyone trying to get close, you know, like when you're trying to leave the Magic Kingdom at the end of the night, everyone's pressing together, shouting, getting into your personal space. It's just shoulder to shoulder, people excited, you know, and here's this woman in the crowd. She's struggling, she's suffering, she's worried, she's feeling weak, and she's tried to find solutions. She's tried to find answers in healing everywhere, but nothing has worked. Maybe that's exactly where you find yourself today. In some area of your life, you're struggling, maybe even hurting. And you feel let down, maybe disappointed. Maybe you're just trying to make sense of everything in life. You're just trying to find footing with God. Like, how does this work? If that's where you are today, I want to encourage you. You are in good company. We all have issues. We're all trying our best to manage issues, right? Many people are trying to hide them, trying to fix them on their own. And I don't know what it took for you to get here today to Church Online, but I believe that there is faith in you right now, just like the woman in this story. Maybe you have issues, but there's something building that you believe, okay, God, if you're real, you can do something in me. There's faith in you right now that there's healing for you. There's faith in you for your family and your loved ones, for your business, for your finances. Faith that God's power and his help is available for your specific need or situation. See, this woman's story is a picture that God wants us to understand that Jesus is really the only solution. We can't manage our problems away. There's not enough self-help. Won't fix our problems. Pills, bottles, other relationships, new relationships, all that kind of stuff. It's just counterfeit to the solution, the only solution that God is. And he designed to bring healing and wholeness to our lives. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus. So what happened? What did the woman do? She heard about Jesus. This is a significant detail because really hearing is how faith comes into our lives. Today what I want to do, I want to give us three keys to getting our faith into action. Getting our faith up, getting it moving, right? Getting our faith into action. Here's the first key today. Faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says it this way. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So faith comes, our faith is strengthened and built up by the things we hear and listen to the most. So whatever you've put your faith in, when you hear something, your faith in that thing is strengthened. So the question then is, what is building your faith? Is it God's word? Is it the news reports? Is it social media? Is it your friends? Is it the gossip at work? Is it political news? What is it? What about the self-talk? You know, the way we talk to ourselves all the time, the things we tell ourselves and believe ourselves. So many people have this negative, defeating self-talk going all the time in their lives, and that's what's building faith in them, that they're just not good enough or whatever. Listen, if we want to see our faith in action in our lives, then we need to allow the Word of God to be the main and constant thing that we are hearing, that we are thinking about, that we are believing. Why? So that our faith in God and His Word will grow. Because if we're hearing something else more than we hear the Word of God, then our faith is being built in that thing instead of God and His Word. So if we want faith to come in us and who God is and believe for miracles and believe that God will come through, then we need to begin to hear the word so that our faith will grow. I wonder, what did this woman hear about Jesus? She probably heard that he was healing people, casting out demons, that he was doing miracles, doing things that seemed impossible. She's hearing these reports and these stories, and she, I can imagine she's like, well, I have an impossible situation in my life. I have this thing, and no one else has been able to help me. They say there's nothing they can do. And maybe even she started asking people questions. Do I have to pay Jesus to heal me? No, you don't have to pay him. Do I have to beg him? Please. No, we didn't have to beg him. We just came close to him and he had compassion on us and healed us. I want you to think for a moment about your impossible situation. What is it? What is it that seems so impossible in your life? Here's this woman hearing the reports of what Jesus had been doing. And she begins to think, wow, this is awesome. She's hearing what Jesus has done, and faith begins to build. And so maybe if I could just have an encounter with Jesus, get close to him, maybe these 12 years won't turn into 14 or 18 or eventually kill me. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So she's hearing the reports, hearing the stories about Jesus. Faith is being built up inside of her. Then she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Another translation says that she actually said, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She said, this is the next important detail for us to get in our understanding today, because faith in action isn't just one part. Hearing is how faith begins to grow, but it's not just hearing that gets our faith in action. Part of our faith in action is that we have to begin to say some stuff, that our words come into alignment with the truth of God's word, that we begin to speak and confess the truth of what our faith is in. Here's the second key today. Our faith is activated through our word. So faith in us begins to grow when we hear the word of God, but our faith is released. Our faith is put into action through the words that we speak. This woman kept hearing the reports about Jesus, and she faith begins to build inside of her. Then she begins to speak and tell herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. You can even hear the faith in her words, right? Without having a Bible full of promises about healing, that God is a healer, he wants to heal us, this woman believes in the healing power of God more than most Christians today, right? Some of us just need to get a hold of the promises of God and put our faith in them. Begin to believe them. Begin to speak the promises, because they are for your life. If you need physical healing in your body or in a family member, listen, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter chapter 2, that's your jam, you know. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. We need to get a hold of that scripture today. Memorize it. Keep it. Say it out loud. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. When you get up in the morning and things are still hurting, if things hadn't changed, when you go to the doctor and you get the same report, keep speaking it. Keep saying it. Why? Because sometimes our senses don't line up right away, right? There are times when we can't see the promises happening. We can't hear the promises. We don't feel things changing. But does that mean our faith isn't real? Does that mean that it's not working? No, absolutely not. We keep saying it. We keep believing it, because that's the spirit of faith. That's what this woman did. The scripture says the spirit of faith is, I believe and therefore I speak. That's the spirit of faith. What good is it to have belief in God? God, I believe in you. But then we use our mouth to curse everything that God created, including yourself and your family and everything he has in store for you. Oh, yeah, I love you, God, but this thing is just going to kill them. This thing is just going to wipe them out. They're just driving them crazy, all these things. How good is it to have big beliefs in God and then have a dirty mouth, constantly speaking negative over yourself or your family, constantly speaking fear or doubt or hopelessness? Come on, church, it is time to change our confession. Too many times we've been tripped by our lip and hung by our tongue just because we can say anything we want. You are free to say anything you want, but come on, I'm calling us up. It's time to begin to change our confession and begin to purposely say the word of God and speak faith and life into things. Sometimes you just have to say it over and over until you see it. Sometimes you just got to talk yourself into victory even when you don't see it or feel it. James chapter 3 tells us that our tongue will direct the course of our lives. Just like when you put a bit in the mouth of a horse, you can turn the whole horse. Or the rudder on a ship, you can turn the whole ship just by the rudder. And the words that we speak will direct the course of our lives. It influences our actions. It influences our thoughts and our believings. Our words will direct how we live our lives. It will determine the type of relationships that we have, the type of marriage that we have. It will determine the type of kids that we have and how we're spending our time. Did you know children learn the language of their environment? Whatever they hear spoken around them the most will be the language they learn. When a baby is first born, they don't know how to speak. They don't know what words mean, but as they grow, they hear mom and dad speaking, teaching them to say words, and soon the first words come out, da-da. Mama, right? And then more and more words follow. What's interesting is that a baby will learn words in whatever language they hear it in, whether it's Spanish, English, German, or faith, encouragement, fear, lack, doubt. And I wonder, what language are our kids learning to speak in? Are we teaching them to speak faith? Or are we teaching them to speak something else? So many kids are learning to speak hate because of the language that's spoken at home. So many kids are learning how to cuss because of what mom and dad say. And it's reinforced by Disney and YouTube and whatever else they watch or listen to. Now, this is a good place to stop and encourage you that you are able to cut out that cusser once and for all. I know the culture wants to tell you that it's normal and that it's okay, but listen, God has a higher way for us. And I know it's possible to get rid of that cusser, because at one point in my life, I had to make the same decision that I would speak blessing and not cursing, that I would no longer let certain words come out of my mouth. It was a decision of my faith, right? Can I just remind you, as your pastor who loves you and wants to see God's best in your life, God has given you a special and powerful tool to shape your life. It's called your words. We are the only thing that God created with this ability to speak faith, to speak words. I love what Hebrews 11, chapter 3 says in the Passion Translation. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. And in this way, speaking and creating, we are like God. There is creation power in our words. We might not speak and create an entire universe, but when we speak, we are creating. We're speaking life or we're speaking death. So the question is, what are we creating in our lives by the words we are saying? What are the things we keep repeating and saying all the time, the little phrases? And we are where we are today as a result of what comes out of our mouth. Maybe you've been saying, well, God can never do this in my life. I'll never just be able to have that kind of relationship. I'll always be like this. I'll never have that kind of money. God would never bless me like that. I believe today is the day to start speaking life instead of all of that nonsense. I am the one God has chosen. He's called me. He's anointed me to do great things on this earth. In fact, I can do all things through the power of Christ in my life. The peace of God will rule and reign in my home and in my marriage because I choose to love like Christ did and serve like He did. I always have abundance in my life. God is increasing me because He supplies everything that I need. Now, this is not a legalistic thing to say you can only say this and you can only say that. No, you're not a robot. You're free to say whatever you want. We are just those who've decided to put our faith into action, and we recognize that we release our faith through the power God has given us in our words. Here's the third key today to putting our faith in action. Faith has corresponding actions. Faith comes by hearing, it's released in our speaking, but then there's an action that follows. So this woman has heard the stories about Jesus. She starts speaking and telling herself, I know He can heal me. And then what does she do? She gets into action. She presses through the crowd, touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. I love that word, immediately. Come on. Another Bible word that's used a lot here is suddenly. Now, we all love those suddenly, immediately answered prayers. You know what I'm saying? Come on. And isn't it true, though, that there are some of those, like, finally kind of prayers? And I know in the Old Testament, there's examples. There's the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You know, the prophets of Baal are praying all day to get their God to answer by fire, but Baal is a false god and didn't answer by fire. Elijah gets there, prays one time. Immediately, God answers by fire, right? Then in the next chapter, here Elisha is on the mountain praying for rain. He's praying. He prays seven times. Nothing. Isn't that how it works sometimes for us, right? Some answers are the immediate ones, and then some are the finally ones. Elijah, he prayed seven times, but here's faith. He never gave up. He kept praying, right? See, faith is a conviction. It's this belief that what God has spoken is already mine. I already possess it. And when we have this kind of assurance, this conviction that we already have the title deed, we believe it. It's that kind of believing where we refuse to give up until we actually see the answers. Now, there are times God will answer immediately. But because faith, right, is this assurance, man, that doesn't mean that if I don't have it right now, that it didn't work. When I don't see it immediately, we are those who don't let our faith fade, because that's when faith kicks in. When I don't see it happening, come on, tell someone sitting near you today, I won't let my faith fade. We're learning here today to understand the process of getting our faith into action in our lives. We keep hearing, we keep speaking, and as a result, our actions then cause us to live in a faith-filled way. Now, I'm encouraged in the Bible in both the immediately and the finally prayers, right? And that's a good place to stop and remind each of us that God is faithful and God is good all the time. He wants us to see that all He has spoken and all He has promised is He's given to us. It's for our lives. And just because we don't possess the answer immediately doesn't mean that God hasn't come through on his promise. Come on, let me say that one more time. Just because we don't possess the answer immediately doesn't mean that God hasn't come through on his promise. So here's this woman. She was suddenly healed. Verse 30, at once Jesus recognized power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Another version said, "Someone deliberately touched me. Who was it?" See, faith and action, the corresponding action, is reaching out to take hold of what God has promised. So what are some corresponding actions of faith that help us to reach out? Here's a few really practical things we can begin to do this week to put our faith into action. How about just obedience to God's word? When he says it, we're going to do it. How about spending time with God? Just taking a few minutes here, a few minutes there, just to be close to God. How about walking in love towards others? And not just the nice people, but to the people who are our enemies, to the people who are unlovable. What about serving someone else? Here's a good one. Find a scripture that is an answer to your need and hold on to it. Hold on to the promise of God. Things to put our faith into action. Remember, in our story, the crowds are pressing hard into Jesus. There's lots of people trying to touch his garments. Maybe even somebody was trying to get that selfie with Jesus, you know? And this woman, she's pressing in too. She's trying to get the answer. She didn't have the scriptures. She didn't have the Bible. She just knew by faith, because of what she had heard, what she had spoke, and what she was doing, that she would receive healing if she could get to Jesus. So what did she do? By her faith, she reached out and pulled something from the supernatural into her life. It's the spirit of faith. Verse 31. You see, Jesus, the crowds of people pressing in against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. I love that statement. Jesus was still looking for who had their faith in action. There was thousands of people around Jesus and one woman with her faith in action. I love this. God is attracted to our faith. There was one person in the crowd who'd be like, "Hey, I want to see you, Jesus, and I need something right now." The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at Jesus' feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. "Jesus, I just kept hearing that you were doing all these miracles. I kept telling myself that it was gonna happen for me. So I decided to get up to come see you, to do whatever I could to get close to you and touch the hem of your garment." Look what Jesus said. "Daughter, your good intentions has healed you." No. "Being in that prayer line has healed you." No. Those are good things. But he said, "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Come on. That is powerful. It's our faith in action that brings the supernatural power of God into our lives. And even as Jesus is speaking this to her, can you see the compassion and love that God has for his people? And honestly, that's the same way that he loves you and me today as his sons and his daughters. He's saying to you, "Son, daughter, let's get our faith in action." Sometimes what hinders our faith, though, is that we don't have this right perspective of how God sees us or what he wants to do in our lives, how he wants to provide for us or what he can give us. For so many people, the biggest issue in their lives and receiving from God is just getting past their own issues and their own perceived failures, getting past this idea that, "Oh, I'm not good enough," or, "I did some good things, so now God is happy with me," or "What can I do?" or "What haven't I done?" Like, all that stuff is not why God will bless you or not bless you. God blesses us according to our faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "It is impossible to please God without faith." See, faith in action looks like taking God's word, mixing our faith with it, our trust in it, our belief that it is true, and putting it into action, doing what it says. And that kind of faith, it says, pleases God. The faith of this woman pleased Jesus. He was so pleased with her in that moment, because in the midst of her physical health issues and all the cultural issues, the lines that she crossed, she had faith to believe that God would do something for her life, even though it looked impossible. We've got to stop thinking that God won't bless us because of our issues. That is a lie from the pit of hell. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to get it all right. But God sees us not through the lens of our issues and mistakes. He sees us through the lens of His Son, Jesus, who is perfect, so that we can receive everything that God has for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That is powerful. Come on, that's worth the price of admission right there. This woman's issues were not the roadblock to getting healing from God, right? And at the same time, it's true in our lives, our issues are not stopping us from receiving God's blessing or drawing close to God or receiving what He has for us. But faith does require us to take a step. It requires us to leave some things behind and draw close to God. So when we pray, when we're holding on to a promise from Scripture, how do we do that? We pray the Word. We bring the Word to God. We say, God, this is what You said You would do, and I believe it. I'm not letting go. And when we do that, we're just reminding Him, God, this is what Your Word says. We're thinking about it. We're thanking Him for the promise. This process is called meditating on the Word throughout my day, thinking about it, asking the Holy Spirit for insight, speaking it, posting about it, texting someone about it. Whatever the process is of thinking about what you're believing God for looks like in your day, it can be different. Sometimes you can be driving and just thank God for His Word. Other times you can be in the middle of a project at work and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and insight. Other times it looks like I get to the end of my day, I was working hard, focused on what I had to do, and I can look back over the day and see the goodness of God in my life and just praise Him. The point is, whatever the rhythm in your life, just begin to weave God into the moments. Weave Him in into all the little moments throughout our time. See, God is faithful. And when we operate this way, faith in action, it pleases God and it moves Him. He blesses us. We begin to pull things out of the supernatural into our lives. Sometimes immediately, sometimes later, but always on time. Wherever you are today, let's bow our heads and begin to pray. Lord, I thank You that Your Word is alive, that it is true. So God, I pray right now, even as we've been sharing this message, that faith is beginning to rise in each and every person. God, I pray for every need that is represented here, everything that so many of us are believing You for, God. The things that look impossible, the things that look like they'll never change, the things that look like they'll never get better. I thank You, Lord, that nothing is impossible with You. So God, in this moment, we decide to be those who live with faith in action. Lord God, I thank You that faith is being built in us right now, Lord God, but we are going to be those who begin to speak the Word of God. Holy Spirit, I pray that throughout this week, in moments of pressure, in moments of pain, in moments of feeling down, bring the Word back to us. Give us that 20 seconds of insane courage and boldness to begin to speak the promise. Lord God, I thank You for even in the moments where we've doubted, even in the moments where we've missed it, Lord God, that Your grace is abundant. You've never failed us. You've never let us down. So God, I pray that when we're waiting on the finally prayers, Lord God, that we would not let go of our faith. We would not have weak faith, but we would stay strong in our faith, Lord God. And I pray You give us courage and boldness this week to put our faith into action. God, I pray for Your miracle working power to begin to move in our lives, for sickness to be gone in Jesus' name, for mental issues to be gone, depression to be released in Jesus' name, for Your glory. And I thank You for it. And as we continue in this moment of prayer together, maybe you feel trapped. Maybe it looks like there's no way out in your life. You're trying to get to a better place in your life. You're trying to make sense of everything. But it just feels like no matter what you do, no matter where you look, there's just darkness, heartache everywhere. No matter how hopeless you feel right now, you are the reason that Jesus came. He knows the pain, because when He was here on the earth, He experienced every pain, everything that we would go through. He experienced it so that He could be the only one to bring you out of it. I believe that you are here right now, not on accident, but this whole thing was put together for this moment so you could know Jesus. Maybe you've tried lots of ways to find peace or temporarily forget about all the problems and all the pains, but you always find yourself right back in the middle of the mess, still experiencing the hurt and the pain. But when we put our faith in Jesus and say, Jesus, you are everything. You are the only solution. I need you in my life. The Bible says God brings us out of the darkness we've been in and brings us into His amazing light. Maybe you're here today and you've been a Christian, but you're just far from God. You've wandered from God, and in this moment, you're ready to renew your commitment to Him and give your life fully to Him. All those who would say, yes, Pastor, pray for me today. I want to know Jesus. I want Him to be my Savior and bring me out of darkness and bring me into life. If that's your prayer, would you right now click in the chat to raise your hand or simply type the name Jesus on whatever platform you're watching today. Can we pray out loud all together so that no one is praying alone? Would you repeat this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for making me new. I confess Jesus is my Savior, and He is the Lord of my life. Thank you for bringing me out of darkness and into your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you just prayed that prayer, then all of heaven is rejoicing. We are celebrating with you, and I would just love to have the opportunity to pray with you, encourage you personally, and just give you some resources to help you continue to grow in your faith. Would you send me a message on whatever platform you're watching, or you can email me, info@victoryorlando.com. I love you so much. I'm praying for you, and I can't wait to see you again next week right here at Church Online.